Hi, and welcome to the very first episode of MSDN Radio. Today we have Jerry Nixon, a developer evangelist based in Denver, Colorado, to talk about Windows 8. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you, Nisha. Glad to be here.
So, Jerry, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do at Microsoft?
Yeah, you bet. So I'm a developer evangelist here in Colorado. And so my job is to go from group to group, event to event, developer to developer, to make sure that they are exposed to, well, right now especially, Windows 8, right? To make sure they've seen it, make sure they understand not only the technical changes that are going to impact them, but as well as the opportunities that it brings as well. There's going to be changes, of course, to the APIs and new ways of developing applications. And I know we'll talk more about that, but I know that's a big thing that we that I get to talk to developers about, going to users groups and events and dev camps and everything I can to make sure I'm talking to as many developers as possible, getting to hear about some of the issues that they hit, the walls that they're hitting against, and help them to overcome that, and reaching out to the team or anywhere else that I can to find answers for them. So I've always said that being a developer evangelist is the best job in the world. Often I say at first that developers have the second best job in the world, and then lead in, because really I get to do everything developers do, play with fun technology and be able to have cool projects and play with everything, but not have developers not have deliverables at the end, right? And so it really is the best of all the worlds together. That's
so you
me,
just
though,
code and play around?
Yeah, I just code and play around. I do a lot of talking and a lot of coding.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess I kind of just wanted to jump into what makes, you know, Windows 8 compelling just to the general public, and then if you could sort of drill down specifically into developers, like why is Windows 8 so cool?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. So Windows 8, well, we should just start with we're begging the question if it is cool or not, and it totally is cool, and let's talk about all the things. I mean, there's a million reasons why Windows 8 is cool, and there's certainly not enough time to talk about it here. And it's extremely compelling. 5 minutes or five reasons,
but
the top five. Yeah, exactly. So the top. Let's think about it like this. So take it from a consumer's point of view, like what you said, right? So a consumer is going to look at Windows, and let's say they have Windows 7 today. Windows 8 is an upgrade from Windows 7, and Windows 8. And probably the most important takeaway of Windows 8 is Windows 8. If it runs on Windows 7, it's going to run on Windows 8. And I think that's probably the first and most important takeaway, is a lot of people have investments that they've already made, software they've already bought, things that they already love about Windows 7, and they're not losing those as they go into Windows 8. Windows 8 introduces a lot more as far as capabilities, but isn't taking away the ability to run the apps and interact with the operating system the way they've trained themselves over the last decade. We've all used it. In fact, when we look at Windows 8, there's really two sides to the coin now. There's the desktop, which we've always used. And again, for decades, we've become very proficient at the desktop. And that's still there. And we interact with it the same. Desktop applications run the same. We still have the taskbar. We still have backgrounds. We still have all the stuff that we're expecting to see. And the keystrokes are the same. The mouse gestures are the same. But then we have that other side, and that's the Metro side. And really, to me, Nisha, the best way to think about it is Metro is a shell that is basically just the start menu expanded to be full screen. And if you think about it like that, it's not really that big of a change. The start menu, now that it's full screen and extra pieces, we are able to run applications inside the start menu now. And so because
you answered
Yeah, so there you go. I read your mind. That's right, or notes to the show. And so we are building applications like we normally would inside the desktop, line of business applications, personal applications, whatever. You know, we have Quicken or Notepad or Word or all those things still run the way you expect them to inside the desktop. But then over in the Metro side, they're all geared differently now. They're all intentionally for a touch experience. They're all intentionally to take advantage of innovations in hardware and changes that we've made to the operating system to enable both the touch experience and future changes to application development that we're going to introduce. So all this advantage in a new start screen, it's more like my personal dashboard now, that I can have all the applications I want to install. Their tiles bring the information to me. I can suspend, I can resume, or I can just use it like I am today on my desktop where nothing is touch, right? Everything is keyboard and mouse for me. And all the touch gestures that we've introduced in Windows 8, those gestures, they translate over to keyboard gestures just fine, right? So I don't have anything to touch, but I don't have any sort of deprecated feature in that I don't have some access to something in Windows 8 here. So I think there's a lot that's very compelling, right? And I think probably the biggest is going to be the enabling of these new form factors, right? Being able to have a tablet that you can sit on the couch with and just kind of enjoy with your finger or not. And at the same time, having all the things that you do on that tablet roam to the cloud, and then when I go to my desktop where I have Windows 8 installed, all those settings, all those changes, all the configuration, all the things that I do all follow me around, and now they're on my desktop as well. So I have that unified experience as well as this unified look now. So this interactive look using tiles, using touch gestures and motion that I use on the phone all the time. Now I have the same thing on my Xbox. I have the same thing in Windows 8. It's pretty cool. Now there's this unified experience that as I go to my other people who I know, right, that they're using Windows, I often have to ask them first, you know, what are you doing? How do you have it configured? And so that's going to be different now. I just say, think of your phone, right? And then that's how you'll use Windows 8. So I think there's a lot of compelling pieces around usability as well as battery life, hardware, opportunities for hardware innovation that's coming. It's pretty cool. I think
sold.
Sold. You'll buy it? I got 15, Ella.
So was Windows 8 your idea?
I'm not even in sales, Alicia. I'm not in sales.
I know, you're not in sales.
Windows 8 was not my idea. Well, Alicia, listen, I thought of Windows 7. I'm done, right? That was my idea. No.
Windows 7 was your idea, not Windows 8.
Right.
And if you decide you don't want to be a developer evangelist, you can be in sales.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're gonna scoop you up
my
after this interview.
That's the 44th best job in the world. Yeah.
So I was reading your blog, and I think you had a really awesome post on the how developers choose between HTML, XAML, and Direct3D. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you bet. You know, there's going to be a lot of changes for consumers like we talked about, but there's going to be a lot of changes for developers as well. So we can think first on the desktop side where there really won't be that many changes. We'll see those upgrades that are coming to the .NET framework. We'll see the upgrades that are coming to WPF and all the pieces that we're used to using as the Lego blocks inside the desktop development experience. Those are all the same. And developers that are building line of business apps inside the desktop environment, that's all still there. And so there's not... Well, there certainly are changes, right? Introduction of async and a lot of other things. But really the things that developers need to pay attention to on the Metro side are long, right? And because really we're talking about a new shell, a new environment, new execution environment where we're going to build applications that not only are built differently as far as user experience and the way things are laid out, but are also different as far as APIs, as namespaces, and things that developers are focused on and paying attention to. I mean, all the way back to, you know, I get a lot of questions from developers, and one of the simplest one is, where's MessageBox, right? There really are going to be some changes that we need to pay attention to. And one of the reasons, MessageBox is a great example, one of the reasons a lot of these have changed is because of the focus on the user experience. And so one of the changes or the focuses on user experience that we're seeing is everything is going to be asynchronous. So when we see the introduction of async into the .NET framework, that's extremely beneficial in Metro development because we don't interact with the operating system through the .NET framework like we would on desktop development when we're in Metro. Instead, we're interacting through the WinRT or the Windows runtime, and Windows runtime brokers activity that could damage the operating system so that you can't call directly to it. That's the first step to protect the user and to protect their experience to make sure your app doesn't wreck their machine. But also WinRT exposes things asynchronously so that when you do something and it is going to take longer than 50 milliseconds, then it's an asynchronous call, like it or not. And so developers who aren't accustomed to right now building applications that are asynchronous, they are going to become familiar with it, right? Because there's no getting around it. If you're a phone developer, then you're already familiar. If you're a Silverlight developer, then you're already familiar with this, as well as if you're already a WPF developer, you could be already familiar with asynchronous development if you've implemented that into your applications. But each of those, WPF, Silverlight, Windows Phone, and now Metro, all extend XAML all the way through as the UI declarative structure that you would use, right? That's the technology choice. So if you know XAML because you're a WPF developer, if you know XAML because you're a Silverlight or Windows Phone developer, you're naturally going to go into into Metro, which is WinRT is the stack,
right.
Then you're going to actually go into that and want to keep that skill that you've been building through your career, right? You're wanting to take your knowledge of XAML into there. And so we have three options of building UI in Metro. And the first one is XAML, and that's a big deal because especially Microsoft developers, there's a lot of investment that they've made into learning and mastering XAML, and they've taken that skill from WPF to Silverlight, they've taken that skill from Silverlight to Phone, they've taken that Phone, or now they can take that skill from all three of those into Metro and leverage it and get the same results, right? It's XAML is XAML, and even though feature implementations are greater in one than the other, really, XAML is XAML, and the spec is consistent. So that's a really nice experience for developers that already know it. But they may not be Microsoft developers, or then again, they may not be XAML developers, right? They may be Microsoft developers who really they've been web developers their whole life. Or they may be outside the Microsoft realm, and the Microsoft platform has never been what they build to. And they are HTML developers and JavaScript developers, and they are web developers, basically. And so they're used to having different JS libraries and interacting with the HTML DOM. And that's the second option inside the Metro shell, that we allow them to come in and say, build a Metro app as XAML, C#, Visual Basic, the .NET languages that you know, or come in and build an HTML application using JavaScript and bring in the libraries that you already use, bring in the libraries that you know about and you want to use, and we introduce a new library to WinJS that says now you can use this library if you want to talk to Windows directly, if you want to talk to the camera, if you want to talk to our sensors, if you want to talk to the file system, all the different options that you have to talk directly to the operating system that I have as, say, a C# developer are exposed identically, literally in parity for HTML developers to use WinJS. And so they can use WinJS then to talk to Windows Phone, or I mean to talk to the Windows operating system, just like I do. And that, so that's nice. So I come in and I make a choice, right? I say, I'm going to pick C# and XAML as my language and UI. And so then I go to town with it. Or I come in and say, you know what? We don't really have a lot of XAML experience. We're really HTML developers. No big deal, right? You can pick that, introduce the WinJS library, have the same access to the operating system as everybody else, and it's a no-compromise choice between the two. The functionality that I have in XAML and the functionality that I have in HTML, those are identical, right? They're intentionally identical and kept in parity so that when you are making this choice between two languages, you're not really choosing which one is better than the other. Now, having said that, if you're an HTML JavaScript developer, you really probably have a strong opinion that JavaScript is a fantastic language and might actually be better, right? And then again, if you're a XAML C# developer, you may have the same opinion that it's better. So it's not we don't let you think that they're better, and they do definitely have differences. It's that when you come in to make that choice, that you're not making a choice based on some sort of compromise on functionality. You're making the choice based on the investments you've already made or the strategic direction or assets that you've already invested in, and you can reuse those as you come in. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, when I look at there, I've seen demos of Windows Phone applications that have been migrated over to Windows 8. And except for a change in some namespaces and some controls that have different names, that migration is a pretty straightforward piece, right?
Wow.
It's XAML to XAML and C# to C#. It's pretty valuable. But I've seen the same thing, like cut the rope. We were instrumental, I was instrumental in writing Cut the Rope. I wasn't. But anyway, I saw the demo of moving Cut the Rope from a web application, which was showing off all the capabilities of IE10 and IE9. And taking that over and upgrading it to be a Metro application in Windows 8. And it was really like this. It was a single project was opened as a web app that had all the assets of Cut the Rope. And then they open up an empty Metro app, empty web-based Metro app, right? So then they take the root and they copy it over and they hit run. And it was that fast and that easy, and it just ran there in the shell like you'd expect. I mean, it wasn't complete, right? I mean, there are still so many things to do to make it a really rich Windows 8 experience. But it really went to show and demonstrated in a powerful way how you can take a lot of the investments that you've made on the web and bring them right in, and you can go from there. A lot of people ask, you know, they've spent so much time learning jQuery, it's going to hurt to try and use WinJS instead of jQuery. But that's not the message. They're hearing it wrong, because jQuery is totally at their disposal as well. WinJS is really our exposing or projecting the capabilities of Windows 8 into JavaScript so that you can access the operating system directly, just like you would through the namespaces that you use in C# or Visual Basic. But so there's a third option as well, and I'll say that on the XAML side, you can also use C++. So there are three you can use all the .NET languages, but you can also use C++ to build a XAML application as well. And that might be a perfect spot for you, because you may have assets in C++ that you want to really take advantage of and not lose. But it's important to know there's also hybrid apps, right? I may have some assets in C++, but the reality is all my developers are C# developers, or all my developers are JavaScript developers. So I want to be able to take that C++ asset and bring it over to my web project and use it. And you can totally do that with hybrid applications, where I can take assets from other languages, build, we call them WinMD, Win Metadata applications or libraries, and bring them from project to project and have hybrid applications that leverage whatever language you have, so you don't have to choose even really based on just your assets. You base it instead on your strategic direction and things like that that are going on. For game developers, it's Direct3D. And so Direct3D has always been our premium gaming platform, right? And that is still the way to interact and build and leverage the GPU and so many other things, right? And so when you start to see major games coming out for Metro and Windows 8, those are all going to be leveraging Direct3D, absolutely. Some of them might be leveraging C++. I'd be willing to say most of them will. However, that's not a necessity, because there are bridge libraries between the two as well. So if you did want to build a Direct3D application, but with your C# developers, that's still at your disposal as well. So there's a lot of value to kind of spread across your team and be able to make decisions strategically instead of being pigeonholed into which one should I choose because of all the compromises I have to make. So I see a lot of games being built in JavaScript, right? A lot of games leveraging HTML5 and like Cut the Rope, right? Or Pirates Love Daisies and some others that are just now showing up in our beta store. And so it's pretty exciting to see that. And that makes sense, right? Because they're seeing a cross-platform story there, right? They built it something, right? And it's showing up over here. They wanted to show up in Metro as well, so they have this cross-platform story of bringing over what they've already built. But really high-end applications, really high-end games that are like intensive on graphics, they need their C++ libraries. They need to use Direct3D directly. And so that's there for them as well. Line of business applications can kind of choose from a smorgasbord of any of the technologies they want, from XAML, which they may already have applications written in, and C# and .NET developers that they probably already have on staff, to any of these other technologies as well. So there is the – did you say 5 minutes or five?
15 minutes. So the key takeaway to listeners is learn Objective-C. Is that right? Just messing.
Yeah. You probably already have, right?
Cool. So I kind of wanted to jump into the making money part, because I know that's what gets people really excited. Can you talk about the potential revenue opportunity of Windows 8 and developing for Windows 8?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big deal. You know, even all the way back to phone, I mean, we started talking to developers like they're entrepreneurs. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Sometimes it's an opportunity for developers. Sometimes it's an opportunity for just business people who want to leverage the same opportunity. And I think that's a fair message and a distinction to say. You know, we often talk to developers and say, this is your chance. And it really is. But it's also that same chance for entrepreneurs and business people who want to be ISVs or build software and leverage the same opportunity that Windows 8 is going to deliver. And so if you think about it, we have 600 million Windows 7 now, right? Windows 7 licenses now. And with I think the last thing I heard was 1.3 billion Windows devices. And our biggest competitor, without a doubt, is Windows XP. I mean, there's no getting around. XP has a huge base installed. And so now with the change in support, or the now we're ending support for Windows XP, and this kind of easy migration from Windows 7 to Windows 8, and saying that everything that runs on Windows 7 runs on Windows 8, only now you get to leverage all this hardware change. Now you get to leverage the store and the thousands and thousands of applications that are going to be available to you there. Now that we have all of those things, there's like this forward momentum that's coming that really makes and positions Windows 8 to have huge opportunity for developers and production companies to put together software to be at, especially right now. I mean, Nisha, we're still in beta. I mean, the release preview is still coming, and we're going to have the opportunity now for developers to get in the front of the line, basically. And so that's a big deal, because right now you could be a big fish in a big pond, right? And that's an unusual opportunity. And you might really say that this is the biggest opportunity that developers, or you and I, or anybody who wants to get in on it, will ever see in our lifetime. Yeah, you and I. Yeah, we're done.
Are we going to build an app together?
That's right. It's going to be great. Yeah. You sell it. I'll build it. You sell it. And well, that's the deal. I mean, yeah, almost like you don't have to sell it, right? The Windows Store is built for discoverability. It's going to be available to every single Windows 8 user, and it's where you start. I mean, think of other platforms that sell tablet operating systems, right? That doesn't take too long. And what's the first thing you do when you turn them on? You go to their store, and you start finding apps that you like. You start downloading them. The store in Windows 8 is going to have the same effect, right? People naturally are going to want to extend it and see more and do more and really excellent apps and compelling apps with good business value and good user experience are really going to have an opportunity to drive themselves into kind of the hearts and minds of the especially early adopter users. And as Windows 8 expands, they become you know, that name or that brand that is already established thanks to this one opportunity now to be at the front of the line. So it's a special process right now, right? We don't let anybody into the beta store, Nisha, because what our goal is that when we release, there'll be quite a few apps, and we want tons and tons of apps. I mean, that's the idea. Right. But at the same time, we want those apps to be excellent, right? We don't want the first experience of Windows 8 to be some crummy app. That'd be a bummer. And so
Can you walk me?
I totally want to, because we've introduced these gates. And I think it's good for developers to understand the gates, because they're not complicated. And, I mean, we really want to make it easy for them, because we want as many apps as well. We just, like, as I said, we just want excellent apps. And so really the first step is your idea, right? I think you and I would be excellent at making an app as long as we had an idea first. So that's our first stumbling block. Let's pretend we had one, right? We're going to make the first Windows 8 Metro Fart app or something like that. Just something's going to be a grand slam, right? And that idea, then we start looking at the design principles around Metro. And so Metro is a design, is a execution shell, but it's also a design language. And it's really our first prescriptive guidance to developers to say, yeah, you're building an application, and here's what it should look like, right? We've never really said that to developers in a really forceful way. And so here we are saying, you can make excellent apps and let us help you do it, right? And so that's the idea, is we have this design language. So we have the concept, then we go into what would that concept look like in a Metro application that is touch-friendly, right? And then what aspects of Windows 8 can we leverage to make our application even better? And so once we have the design, then it's all about nominations. So then it's about contacting me, right? Or one of the developer evangelists that might be in your area, right? You go to jerrynixon.com. All my contact information is there. You just ask me for the URL. I send you the special URL where you enter in your application and you set up its profile information. And there's a checklist of all the things that are required to get into the store. Things like, do you support different views? Do you support online and offline? It's a long list because we want applications to be robust. But at the same time, it's straightforward. So anyway, the first step is this nomination process. And then from there, we go into PFE labs. And so PFE labs are excellence labs where a developer presents, basically, their application. They get feedback if they have, you know, kind of room to grow. And then they get that token at the end if their application is ready or ready enough, right? It's important to say we're not looking for applications that are still in the back of a napkin, but we're not looking for applications that are finished either. The idea is we want somewhere in between where it looks like there's potential for your app to really be great. Go through the PFE lab, get the token so that you can submit into the store and be one of the first in line. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, there'll be hundreds of thousands of applications in the Windows Store eventually, right? There's no getting around it. Right now, there's a little over 1,000 in line. I mean, think about that. I mean, you could still be at the front of the line, and they're all grouped together by topics or categories so that every application belongs in a certain section. And so take that small list and then shrink it even smaller to whatever category your app's in. So those are the steps, you know, to get nominated by a developer evangelist like myself. Then to go through a PFE lab, get a token, and submit your app. You know, once it's ready. And so I think that's the big. Those are the big major gates to go through, and it's all about development, right? If you have a great idea, you know, that's what developer evangelists are here for too, to really help you get through the development process as easily and quickly as possible. If you hit any walls or some sort of questions that you can't figure out, that's why we're here. So hopefully this is a greased process, Aisha.
Yeah. So
I'm the
come
grease.
You are the grease. Yeah.
I'm the grease.
So come up with an idea and then see what it looks like in Metro and then leveraging some of the features of Windows 8, contact a developer evangelist, and then potentially get into the Excellence Labs and then get a token and then get into the store.
You got it.
Is that right?
Yep,
awesome.
Yep.
Very cool.
It's that easy.
That easy. And you and I still have to build an app together. The fart app.
Oh,
the first fart app ever.
It'd be great. You'll do all the testing.
I'll be the QA lady.
I always wanted a fart app with a timer, you know, that kind of counts down so you can kind of put it some.
3 minutes. The longest fart ever. We could set a Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, you mean how long this fart? Oh, man. This whole thing has gone the wrong way.
Well, I wanted to thank you so much for being here today, Jerry. You are amazing. Again, Jerry Nixon, developer evangelist from Denver, Colorado. You can visit his blog website at jerrynixon.com. Visit him on Twitter at Jerry Nixon. He is very prompt to reply. And you can also, if you have any questions about Windows 8 development, hashtag Win8AppDev, #Win8AppDev, and someone will get back to you. So until next time, thank you for joining us at MSDN Radio. That is not the official name yet. We're going to come up with a cooler one than MSDN Radio. So if you have any ideas, let Jerry or I know. You can tweet Jerry at Jerry Nixon or me at Nishers. And have a wonderful, happy day.
Perfect. Thanks, Nisha.